go.
We're talking a lot of NFL today. Welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm live in Southern California. My name is Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We already had Ravens tight end Nick Boyle on last hour. Coming up next hour, a cornerback for the Chicago Bears, Jalen Johnson. I'm currently efforting a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, Bobby Okereke. So I'll have that for you momentarily. In the meantime, let me quickly reset you. 1-800-636-8686. We talked at length already about the Dallas Cowboys. Do you still think that anybody else can just do Dak's job? You know, I made the point in a take on the NFL and CBS that losing Dak was definitely a devastating blow for him and for the team, but it didn't mean their season was over. Then they go out and they get knocked the hell out last night. I'm going to stand by it. Their season is not over. That was a bad deal last night. They got beat by a good Cardinals team, but their season is not over because they still play in the worst division ever, and they might win that division with six wins. So their season is still not over. Even if Ezekiel Elliott cannot hold on to the football, and he can't, even if Dalton was as bad as he was, and he was, they're still very much in it. Hell, they're still in first place in the East. We talked about that. We talked about Arizona. I mentioned that it is now Tua time. Miami is going to give Tua a shot. And you can't blame any of that. You can't blame anything on Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, what that guy did last year on a team that bad, to me, is still a miracle. And he was playing lights out this year, but you knew it was only a matter of time. I didn't think that time was necessarily right now, but if you look at the schedule, they've got a bye. Tua got into the last game. I guess it's really not that surprising. You know, Fitzmagic will handle that like the pro that he is, without question. And more on that coming up in a minute. As promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. Had another big game. He had seven tackles. He had a couple of passes defended in Sunday's win over Cincinnati. He was a Pac-12 champion. He was a Rose Bowl champion at Stanford. He was the 89th pick overall in 2019. The Colts are 4-2 on the season. They're at Detroit on November 1st. That is a CBS game. He is the pride of Orange County here in Cali. Bobby Okereke is my guest. Bobby, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you having me, Jim.
Great to have you, Bobby. Really nice to talk to you. Take me back to Sunday's game, if you don't mind. You guys fell behind, Bobby, 21-0 in the second quarter. At that point, it might have been pretty easy for guys to maybe start pointing the fingers at each other. Then the whole team falls apart, but that's not what you guys did. What was the mood among the players after that tough start?
Just showing resilience and banding together. Obviously, our offense had our back, kept us in the game the whole time. And defensively, we knew we just had to make some adjustments, and we'd be right back in it. And we were just able to be resilient the whole game and finish it out.
So, Bobby, that's exactly what happened. Cincinnati scored 21 in the first 16 minutes, and then you held them to 6 points the rest of the way. So, like, technically, what changed for the defense?
Yeah, you know, we just started seeing repeat plays, realized how they were trying to attack us. I mean, their first 15 script matched up well against us. But, you know, we made those adjustments and thought we did a good job shutting them out the second half.
Bobby Okereke is joining us, a linebacker for the Colts. Now, Bobby, you never want to fall behind, obviously, 21-0 in a game. But when something like that happens and you do come back to win, is there something to be said for having the experience of being backed into a corner and then coming out swinging?
100%. I think that shows the character and makeup of our team. And I think that experience is going to serve us later in the season. We know where we want to go, and we're going to be in some dogfight games as well. So this experience of coming back, staying together, and being resilient is going to pay us forward.
Hey, Bobby, you mentioned the offense, so let me ask you about Philip Rivers. He had a tough game last week against Cleveland, but then he came back with some really big plays on Sunday when they were needed. When he was talking to the media, he mentioned that he really did not have a chance to get to know some of the local writers, so he went out of his way to read what they had written about him last week. Quote, "You stink it up, they better write, Rivers better get with it," and I felt like you guys were pretty dang honest, end quote. You know, I love that approach from this guy, and the soundbite really is amazing. What's it been like for you to play with him and get to know him?
It's been amazing. He's been a great leadership presence on our team, and then his savviness, his experience on the field, the way he processes everything, It's just incredible, and it's made me a better player going against him through camp.
Practice. Notice he'll never get profane with it. I mean, he doesn't curse. Does he still jaw with you guys in camp and let you know when he's beating you?
No, he does. That's one thing he'll definitely do, let you know when he's beating you if the offense is having a good day. But, you know, we're all competitive.
Bobby. Albie. Bobby Okereke is my guest. I had him and then I lost him. Let's see. And there he's gone. No. James Kelly picked him up. That's my favorite. That song comes up when we have a guest and then we lose a guest. And that's because one day I was talking to Dana White. And in the middle of a conversation with Dana White, that song came up.
I like it.
So I lost connection with Bobby. I'm going to try and reestablish that. I knew that when I had that conversation with Dana White, it's not like it was a tough question that he wanted no part of. That's the best thing about Dana. Dana answers every single question, and if he doesn't like a question, he just doesn't answer it.
Dana White joining us. Dana, you were pretty critical of Oscar De La Hoya for his involvement. I've been telling you how to do that. Is that me or is that you, Dana? I've been telling you how
to do that. No, yeah, I could tell a tough question was coming, so that's my new system for tough questions.
That is so funny to me. That's so funny to me that that happened, and it's almost as funny to me that whenever it happens now, Alvin goes right to that. I've been telling you how sweet, like I'm talking to Colts linebacker Bobby Okereke, and then I'm no longer talking to Bobby, and then you hear that song. I've been telling you how sweet. So we will try to reestablish that because he is the pride of Orange County. As I mentioned, he played his college ball at Stanford. He was a Pac-12 champion there, a Rose Bowl champion there as well. On the season, I did not mention this, but I will. 33 tackles, a tackle for a loss, 3 passes defended, and he has an INT this season, and I have found him. Hey, Bobby, sorry about that. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
All right, good. So, technical difficulties. That'll happen. So, at the end of last season, GM Chris Ballard said this quote, "Bobby, he's got something real special in his body. I think you saw the flashes," end of quote. So, first, what did it mean to hear that from him? And then, as you look back, what was your rookie season like for you?
Yeah, it was a boost of confidence hearing that from him. Obviously, the administration, management of the team, speaking that highly of you, always going to boost your confidence. And I think that's from some of the splash plays I made last year, the pick two, you know, showing off some speed, that strip sack in Tennessee, some of those plays in the Kansas City game, really just making impact plays. And I think that's what he was alluding to, and that's what I felt in my limited role last season I was able to bring to the table. So now, in this season going forward, playing a couple more plays, just trying to make that impact to show more and more.
All right, so you get more and more opportunities. But how does year two feel compared to year one?
It feels better. I mean, I'm a lot more confident out there. Year one, you're kind of deer in the headlights. You're figuring everything out for the first time. Now I feel like I have my footing and confidence definitely up.
All right, so one of the things you've talked about also is how you're processing the game faster, how you're improving your eyes, and you don't want to be that dog to a meat truck. What does working on your eyes mean, and then how does that show up on the field on Sundays?
Yeah, just staying disciplined and reading my keys. I mean, on every play, on every coverage we have, every run front, there's a specific job that I have and a specific place my eyes are supposed to be to put me in the right place. So really just being disciplined and playing with attention to detail and trusting my keys and letting them put me in the right place to be able to make plays.
Bobby Okereke is my guest. Now, you mentioned the splash plays, and then you mentioned the speed. There's been a lot of talk about who's faster, you or Darius Leonard. I know, or at least there was supposed to be a race in the offseason. How did that race go? Who is the faster guy?
Yeah, you know, there was a race this offseason. Darius won, so that was the first opportunity for us to side-by-side compare our speed. But, you know, we'll have some couple more opportunities. But game speed, I'll hold it. I'm faster than him. So we got that going.
What's more important, pure speed or game speed?
I'll take game speed, but pure speed, I'll line it up with him, and I think I'll beat him the next time.
All right. All right. So I mentioned off the top, you are the pride of Orange County. I am speaking to you, Bobby, from Orange County. What was life like for you growing up in this area?
It was nice. You know, I grew up in Tustin, California. Great community, very school community oriented. Just felt very safe and very fortunate. My parents moved us there to grow up.
I love that. I love that you grew up in Tustin. In fact, we are in an area not far from Tustin, and for the same reason, because it's safe and the schools are good. And I'm constantly telling my kids that, hey, we're here for you, and this is why we're doing this. Your father came to the U.S. from Nigeria to go to college, then came back to California. As you've said, your parents are living the American dream. How much did you learn from your folks in terms of work ethic and setting high expectations?
Really everything. We talked about, as a family growing up, the three Ps, preparation, perseverance, and persistence. And whether that was school, whether that was football, Boy Scouts, any endeavor, really you just got to prepare as much as you can, and then you got to persist and persevere through the tough times. And I think that's a testament to them coming from Nigeria and making it in America. So their example has been a great example for me and all my siblings.
So, Bobby, I mentioned also you're a Stanford man. I'm curious, like your folks, when they came here, how much of the balance, like were they huge on obviously academics? That's a given. But what about athletics? How did they balance the two things? And did they feel like athletics was almost as important, or how did they treat that?
No. In our family growing up, it was really academics. That was the only thing that was important. Everything else, extracurricular, you could do as long as you had good grades. So that was a big motivation for me to have good grades. If I wanted to play football, if I wanted to do other social fun things, I really had to make sure my grades were on point.
I like that. They made you earn that. And then on top of that, not only were your grades on point, and not only were you excelling in athletics, you were an Eagle Scout growing up. What did you take away from that experience?
A lot. Kind of the same thing we talk about, attention to detail and focus in football. Learned a lot of that on the Boy Scout front. Also the Scout motto, be prepared, and the Scout slogan, do a good turn daily. Just kind of gave me good guidance to live my life.
So, Bobby, what was the transition like from Orange County to Indiana?
It was a little different, obviously getting used to the weather and the cold. But I always talk about Indiana feels very homey. You feel that Hoosier hospitality here. And, you know, it's been very welcoming for me. I've really enjoyed my time here.
All right, so what about your bye week? You've got a bye week right now. How do you go about approaching this time off?
Yeah, bye week. We'll do some self-scout, just see how we can make improvements and individually make ourselves better players over this week, but also rest and recover and make sure our bodies are right for this long stretch we have ahead.
Man, that's so key, right? So what are your keys to rest and recovering your body?
Making sure I get 8 to 10 hours of sleep, you know, eating fruits and vegetables, drinking water, maybe a little meditation on the side, just trying to keep myself mellow and mindful.
Attention to detail, my man, you are on it. He is the pride of Orange County, Colts linebacker, coming off a big game, and the Colts are 4-2. Next up, they've got Detroit November 1st. Bobby Okereke, my guest. Bobby, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, me too, Bobby. Great job. Man, he is so impressive. Stanford man, second year, Pac-12 champ, Rose Bowl champ, Eagle Scout, and has all the answers. Mindful, rest and recovery, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, fruits and vegetables, stay hydrated, being mindful. Mellow and mindful is what he said. Mellow and mindful. I'm always struck by these guys that are that young and are already so much better at life than I am. And I'm 30 years older. What the hell? Good family. I said, what about that balance between athletics and academics? He said, no, there's no balance. We were all about academics. We had to earn the right to participate in extracurricular activities, but only if our grades were on mark. That's impressive, man. That's the standard. That is absolutely the standard. All right, so resetting you quickly as we get through hour number two. So far, so good. We had Nick Boyle, two really good NFL interviews. Nick Boyle of the Ravens. We had Bobby Okereke of the Colts. I am open until the last segment in the way of interviews. Jalen Johnson coming up then. Between now and then, my thoughts on the World Series. We've got game one. Who you got? Rays or Dodgers? Really good matchup. I want to go back to the weekend and talk about the Jets. Miami making their quarterback switch. We knew it was a matter of time. I didn't know necessarily that it was going to happen right now, but Tua's going to get that shot. And Bills Mafia, you've skated until now, but we have to get into what happened last night. So that's coming up too. Hey, man, pick up the phone. Hammer it. 1-800-636-8686. Quick timeout. Let me ask you a question really quickly. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? I mean, there is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality through their iconic clear view packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, because they only use the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to the real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouth-watering flavors. There's Old Fashioned with a hint of brown sugar sweetness. There's teriyaki, there's peppered. And for those of you who need a little more of a zing, there's hot and spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and provide true, sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list and keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Number of you are reacting to the interviews we've had so far in a positive manner, saying really good interviews. Appreciate that. And I would tend to agree with that. Nick Boyle was tremendous. Ravens tight end, Nick Boyle, good energy. Bobby Okereke could not have been more impressive. Like I mentioned, you have a young guy like that, and he's in his second year playing at a high level, an Eagle scout, a Stanford man, playing in the NFL. Father came from Nigeria. And he was really impressive. Like I said, I can't help. I have to own it. But I hate it when guys that are in their early 20s are way more impressive than me in every sense. Like that guy. And he grew up not far from where I'm broadcasting from. Jalen Johnson's coming up in hour number three. Bills Mafia, we have to have this conversation. You're not going to want to have the conversation, but we need to have the conversation. Quickly, some reaction. Squirrel 2 is in on Twitter. Kyler Murray is short. That dude is a giant. Yours, Cal in Vegas.
The smack off on the 3 minute man, but in the bedroom, I'm all night. Woo!
Hey, Jeff, Cal in Vegas is going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
At Phoenix Tree Rat. Tweets, Jim, I was efforting too. Regards, Tubin. I was efforting Bobby after the phone call dropped. Tubes has nothing to do with this. I already told you I'm not getting into that. Hey, Rome. She's a beauty. She's one in a million girls. Why would I lie? Regards, Tubes. She's a beauty. War. First of all, that's the Tubes. Not Tubes. Why would I lie? She's one in a million girls. She's a beauty. Why would I lie? Let's not confuse Tubes with the Tubes. This idiot also wars bums using a relish packet in their lipper as a skull pouch. Jesse in El Paso tweets, Jim, from the outside looking in, it appears the Cowboys are crumbling faster than our furniture. IKEA.
How about them Cowboys?
Unwar haunted houses for adults. Is Halloween even a thing this year? Is anybody doing that? All I know is there better not be any Halloween candy in my house, man. I'll be so pissed. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so let me quickly give you another phone number. A phone number that you want to keep. This is the voicemail number. This is the voicemail number for our podcast, the Jim Rome Podcast. Coming up on Wednesday, former NFLer Will Blackman joins me. The wine MVP. He's got a great rap. He's had a really interesting career. And a new business, and I'm eager to talk to him. But as part of that podcast, I have your voicemail, and we've done this since day one pretty much. And what the reason I do that is because there are certain phone calls that I could never air on this show that I can air on that podcast. A little off color, a little more aggressive. Also, I try to set that up as kind of a phone call boot camp. Like a lot of you come in here and you're not ready and you flame. This is a way for you to get reps. You can try on the podcast. And a lot of you do. And then some of you have tried to make the jump from the podcast to the show. And generally, it does not go well. But a lot of you try. So if this is something that interests you, I want to give you a phone number right now. 949-385-0447. Put it in your phone. It's a direct dial to me. Now, the way I've set this up is I've got it going directly to voicemail. But every once in a while, at night, when I'm doing my prep, I'll pick up that call. So people are always like, damn, Vance Mack, is that you? I'm like, that's me, yo. What's up? So don't be shocked if every once in a while I pick that up, because I will. If it goes right to voicemail, though, understand that we might use it on the podcast. So put this number in your phone, 949-385-0447. Why did I just do that? Because this guy has made a habit of calling the podcast, and he gets in the voicemail all the time. He's trying to successfully make the jump from the podcast voicemail to the Daily Show live. Let's see how this goes. He's gotten his reps. He's gotten his run. We've put him on the podcast a number of times. Let's go to Melbourne. Justin in Melbourne. Justin, what's going on?
Thank you, Jim, for giving me the trifecta. Great takes, incredible conversation, and the best podcast out there. But what really gets my ears to perk up, like Adam Silver and Leffen Laguna on the Daily, is when you talk the Jim Rome Golden Rule, SYM, save yo money. I've dedicated my craft throughout the years to do just that. But I'm sick and tired of Jefferson and Richmond pressing play on his Lanier messenger system and spewing out that all clones are bankrupt and looking for handouts. Hey, Jeffy, I didn't go to USC or Duke, but I am college educated with a master's degree in grinding and a PhD in grit. In fact, I'm making this all-important phone call from inside an elevator. And guess what, Tubby? This elevator is inside my house. I call this house the Gronk, because we all know Gronk's favorite number would be 69. And if you add two zeros behind it, there's the square footage of my humble abode on the intercoastal waters of Florida. Listen here, Sloth and Richmond. I never hear you saying the words piff, paid in full. I do see you know the word puff from all the cream puffs you shoved down that pie hole of yours. Trough and Richmond, I put my pants on one leg at a time. But the difference between me and you, when my pants are on, there's a whole hell of a lot of work getting done.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Justin.
Not a very good call.
Good news, bad news, Justin. Bad news is you failed and got run. The good news is you can't get run on the voicemail. Dude, you just called to wreck Jeff in Richmond, but you're like the Florida version of Jeff in Richmond. Back to the podcast, back to the voicemail, back to work, back in the shallow end. And next time, send me that essay that you composed and I will read it myself. All right, quick reset. 1-800-636-8686. When I say, do you have a take? Don't suck. Talk about anything you want. He chose to talk about Jeff in Richmond. He can hit on either of the games last night. You can hit on game one of the World Series. We can talk about the Bills and what happened to them. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. The Bills and what happened to them. Habib and Justin Gaethje coming up this weekend. God, I love that matchup. I'm so fired up for that matchup. Habib has never lost. And the thing that I love about the UFC and MMA, everybody loses. Everybody loses. At some point, everybody in that sport loses. They just do. And it's because of two things. Number one, there's so many different disciplines, so many different ways that you can lose, so many different ways you can get caught. And number two, especially in the UFC, Dana White does a great job, the best job, in fact, of making sure that the very best fight one another all the time. Everybody loses, except Habib. Not only has he never lost a fight, This guy doesn't even lose rounds. Arguably, he's never lost a single round in his entire career. But that'll happen when your dad makes you fight bears when you're three. This guy's incredible. But Gaethje brings some amazing heat. Amazing heat. I love that matchup. That's Saturday night. Never too soon to start talking about that. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I give Justin his due credit. He took a shot. You can't make a shot that you don't shoot, right? He took a shot. It didn't work. But at least the guy wasn't afraid. He tried. I mean, my man could have stayed in the shallow end. He could have stayed in the voicemail where he's been dominant of late. But you got to put yourself out there. You got to take a shot. You have to risk failure. You got to risk looking bad. And he looked bad. But he tried. At least he tried.
Credit.
For real. Bill's Mafia, I've stayed off you as long as I possibly could. I can't do this any longer. We got to talk about what happened last night. One thing for you to get hammered the way you did against Tennessee, but you had a chance to get right last night, and it only got worse. You guys made it worse. We'll hit on that topic when we come back. Also, the World Series, Fall Classic. And a lot of you haters can't wait for him to also go Justin in Melbourne. Is that going to happen or not? Who do you like, Dodgers or Rays? Who you got? I've got my prediction. I've got my pick, and you'll get that as well. Stay tuned. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. And they're ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's coming up next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL. All right, so Bills fans, you bought yourself like another 2 minutes before I get to you. Because there is an absolutely amazing tweet that I just found. Jane Slater offers this. This is an incredible tweet. Jane Slater, and she's an excellent reporter. Excellent reporter who is dialed into all things Dallas Cowboys. I literally can't wait to read this tweet to you. This is an amazing tweet. She tweets, quote, hashtag Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared, they don't teach, they don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. End of quote. Another quote, they just aren't good at their jobs. End quote. You can go ahead and smash retweet on that one. And like,
how about them Cowboys?
That is an incredible tweet. And again, she's an excellent reporter. Quote, Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. End of quote. Another, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs. What do you mean they don't teach? Did you not see that barn? Did you not see that library that Mike McCarthy had? Did you not see all the books that McCarthy had? That is incredible. The players think that the coaching staff is, quote, not good at their jobs. You notice how players generally say, hey, man, this is on us. This is on us. We're not doing our job. We're not executing. We're not executing. This isn't about the coaches. Oh, no, that's not what they're saying. That's not what they're saying at all. What they're saying is, oh, no, that's on them. That's on the coaches. They're not good at their jobs. They can't teach. They can't adjust on the fly. In short, they're not good at their jobs. Not, it's not a good fit. Not, it's going to take some time. Not, we're establishing a culture. Just, they're not good at their jobs. That's incredible. I thought, like, all that time spent in that Wisconsin football bunker, right? All that time, you got fired by Green Bay. Man, what do you think Aaron Rodgers is thinking hearing this right now? Aaron Rodgers has got to be thinking, yeah. If Aaron Rodgers weren't so mellow and mindful, I bet Aaron Rodgers would be like, yeah, you're right, right? The hell you think I was dealing with that whole time there? And if, in fact, McCarthy can't teach, can't adjust, and is not good at his job, then how good is Aaron Rodgers at his job? So back to the football bunker. So McCarthy gets fired, and he's bitter. And he's really bitter. And he admits he's bitter. And then he says, yeah, but I had this epiphany. I can't be bitter. I have to be better. And so he goes into the bunker. And it's kind of fascinating, right? He goes into the bunker. It's this beautiful barn that he has on his property not far from Lambeau. And then he brings a bunch of his football buddies in. And they bunker down. And they work every day like a staff. And they're preparing. And they're going to school on where they failed. And they're getting ready. And they do this like every single day, like they have a game to get ready for. And they're caught up on everything that's progressive and new in the league. And then he calls a few of his buddies in the media up, and they write it up, and they do stories on it. And then he goes to Jera. Man, how about that? How about working the greatest con ever on one of the greatest con men ever? It's incredible. So he gets that gig, and what happens? He goes from the bunker. And this is when the clapper is finally pushed out. And like the real football people were coming in. The people who knew, the adults, the grinders, the guys who were prepared, they were going to take over. You know, the whole rap about him getting that gig was that, okay, now the pros are coming in. No more Mr. Nice Guy with Ginger. Now the pros were coming in. And then what happens, man? They get hammered. And the team turns on him quickly. And the discontent leaks out. And the players are saying things like, man, they can't teach. They can't adjust. They're not even good at their jobs. And all of a sudden now, Ginger. All of a sudden now, the Ginger, the clapper, Garrett. Looks like he's Tom Landry himself. They had to bring him back. How amazing would that be if Jera and Steva were to fire Micah? And what if the clapper came back and he put on the hat and the long coat? And under the hat, the redhead is looking all stern and austere. This thing is incredible. That might be my favorite tweet ever. Jane Slater, quote, Cowboy players initially bought into keeping things internal. Let me stop right there. They initially bought into, hey, man, let's keep this in-house. We can't be ripping apart here. Then they go on Monday Night Football, and they get embarrassed again. And now they're like, hell with that, man. Let's start telling the media off the record how we really feel. And this is how we really feel. They can't teach. They can't adjust. Damn, they're not good at their jobs at all. So if you're Jera, what do you do now? What do you do now that discontent's leaking out and your locker room after only six games has decided there is no buy-in and they think the coach is not good at his job? Then again, can you really argue that point? 1-800-636-8686. I mean, I could certainly argue that the players aren't good at their jobs either. So now you got Big Mike. You got Big Mike. You got Mike Nolan. A few of these other guys who are unemployed, just kicking it in that bunker. I mean, what the hell were they doing in that bunker, by the way? What were they doing in that coaching bunker? Were they breaking tape? Were they catching up on the latest trends? Or were they feeding hay to the horses, breaking ice for the cows, and fixing fences out back? Or were they watching New Age ball? It's absolutely incredible. That whole, no more Mr. Nice Guy. The pros are taking over. D-Rod in the 925. The Cowboys offensive coordinator is freaking garbage.
Garbage.
You know why that is? quote, he's not good at his job. You know why else that is? He can't teach. You know why else? He can't make adjustments on the fly. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Mike McCarthy's football bunker was just a Culver's. Bravo. Well done. I know that reference. Was it not an Ian's Pizza? It was just a Culver's. Little Wisconsin humor for you. Anybody else want in? Bill's Mafia is like, good, man. Thank you, Jane. Thank you for that tweet, Jane. You bought us like 10 more minutes before Rome went in on us. That is absolutely amazing. What an incredible tweet that is. Boy, that didn't take long, did it? You're in the worst division in football, fellas. No need to panic. You're still in first place. They're still in first place, yet they've already turned on their new coach. And if it took six games for that to happen, how did Big Mike last 13 years in Green Bay? And how did Aaron Rodgers last that long with that guy? And how good is Dak Prescott that he kept that thing together and kept them competitive? Hey, but Jerry, you got your wish. If your thing in life, Jerry, is to get people to look at you and talk about you, man, you got plenty of that. And on top of that, Jerry, you're in first place. Squirrel 2 is back. He tweets, can you please read that Jane Slater tweet again? Yours, the refs, and Mike McCarthy's stepson's basketball game. Yeah, I doubt they're the ones that are tweeting, but I can read that again because, after all, it is one of my favorite tweets in quite some time. And again, Jane Slater is really reputable, really credible, and especially dialed in when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. So if she's tweeting that, she knows exactly what she's talking about. Quote, hashtag, Cowboys players initially bought in to keeping things internal. Again, I want to stop right there. They initially bought in to keeping it internal. So what that means is things are really jacked up. But they bought in to keeping it internal. Not bought into the staff, not bought into the schemes, not bought into the vision, not bought into the culture. When you talk about buy-in, you buy into the staff, the vision, the culture, the plan. No, they bought into keeping it in-house, how jacked up the whole thing is, until they didn't. Quote, now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. They just aren't good at their jobs. We're not talking about a coach making the jump from college football to the NFL. We're talking about Big Mike McCarthy. You know what? 13 years with Green Bay? The guy from the coaching bunker who prepared for an entire year for this opportunity? You know, much less his entire life. He spent his whole life getting ready for this, but specifically a year in that farm bunker. And the team thinks he's totally unprepared. Amazing. That is incredible. Right when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got so much worse. And by so much worse, I mean so much better. That is truly awesome. Jason Garrett, he looks like Tom Landry, Vince Lombardi, and Bill Belichick all rolled into one compared to this crew. Seriously, Cowboy fan, where are you now? If that weren't bad enough last night, if they didn't take a dump on the big national stage the way they did last night, now you have this.
You have a big dump in your pants.
1-800-636-8686. Still ahead, Jalen Johnson, a Chicago Bears cornerback. You are what your record says you are. So the Bears are playing pretty good ball. That's coming up in hour number 3. World Series getting underway. Buffalo Bills, another tough night last night. And more. Let's see what we have here. Bella B is in. Quick, somebody call somebody. and get Ricky to fax his resume to the Cowboys ASAP. Hashtag Ricky in Tampa.
Kind of ridiculous.
Damn, Bella, really?
Sir, in all honesty, it was ridiculous.
Ricky in Tampa was the one who called the program, and he said he had a storied basketball background and did not know why he was not getting attention for a possible NBA gig. He was upset that Steve Nash cut the line and got an NBA job. And Ricky said, you know what, actually, Rome, it's really kind of ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous, Rome.
Bella B jumping in.
Kind of ridiculous.
Jesse in El Paso. Dear Jim, we predict Kershaw falling apart in the third inning. Signed, IKEA. You know what, Jesse? You know what you are? Kind of ridiculous.
Kind of ridiculous.
At Hitman Canadian, Justin in Melbourne needs to go sink on one of Eric in Orlando's boats. Or one of his boats.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
But what is it, Eric? Hey, Matt, let me tell you something, D-bag. I don't fish on boats, all right? I fish on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
For all of you who are here to hate on Kershaw, hey, for whatever it's worth, and I'm just saying, for whatever it's worth, if you track these types of things, if you look at these types of things, he is favored in game one. Minus 173. When we come back into hour number three. Come on, Jane, give us something else. Jane Slater, what an amazing tweet that was. And Bill's Mafia, how happy are you? You bought yourself another segment. But it's inevitable and it's unavoidable. I'm going to get to you next. We're talking about the Bills and what happened to them. That's coming up to start hour number three. I am Jim Rome. Don't